This is Michelle, and on behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, it is my privilege to welcome you to our online service right here at our Plano campus. We would love for you to stay connected with everything happening right here at Prestonwood. And to do that, would you do me a favor? Get your phone out, and I want you to text the word GUIDE to 74788. That's GUIDE to 74788. And I'll be sure that you receive a digital copy of our worship guide, where, like I said, you can stay connected with what's happening in the weeks and months to come here at Prestonwood. Well, I would love to know where you are joining us from today. I have it in my mind that some of you may be at the beach. Perhaps you've got toes in the sand. And so if you are joining us from a tropical location today, would you let me know? I want to be sure and say hello to you. Also, if you have a prayer need, we have an amazing ministry team in the chat with you today, and they would love to pray specifically for your prayer need. And they're also there to answer any questions that you might have about our service today. Speaking of our service today, Pastor Graham is going to be continuing in our series entitled Living Hope in a Hostile World from 1 Peter. So you want to make sure you have your Bibles. But right now, we're beginning with parent-child dedication.
Here, whether you're in this room sitting ready for worship or you're online, we're excited that you are here. We're ready for worship this morning. You're going to hear a powerful message from our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham. And as we begin this morning, we're going to kick off our time with parent-child dedication. These families that we're introducing you to have committed to raise their children to know, love, and follow God. And so I want you to celebrate with everyone that we introduce. We're going to start with Trenton and Caitlin Davis. They are dedicating Eleanor Reese Davis. Brock and Brooke Goddard are dedicating Olivia Faye Goddard. Julio and Lynn Rivera are dedicating two. They're dedicating Bodie Jesus Ann Buell and Nia Dahlia Chi Buell. Chris and Marianne Thornton, they are dedicating Hunter Russell Thornton. And we have Isaiah and Peter Pogue, and they are dedicating Sailor Grace. God is so faithful. Thank you so much.
They can't press him with this. A beautiful picture of the next generation of little boys and little girls growing up and living for Jesus and loving him all of their lives. And this is something we do periodically throughout the year whenever moms and dads welcome new little babies into their homes. And it's right in line with a beautiful story from the Old Testament about a mom named Hannah. She had been asking the Lord, it was the desire of her heart that God would give her a baby. And when God answered that prayer, she went and she dedicated that little baby and gave him back to the Lord. His name was Samuel. And she said, Lord, I give him to you. His life is yours. And you know, for those moms and dads that are here today, future moms and dads that are still praying that prayer, we're praying with you that God would give you the desire of your heart and that you would join in the celebration that these families share today. Moms and dads, as we stand with you this morning, what a beautiful picture, what a beautiful sound that is of that little baby. And mom and dad standing here together today, families standing together saying, we're coming to give ourselves and this precious little one to raise in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Moms and dads, can I just encourage you? As someone who loves being a dad himself, God's blessed us in our home, and I think about this all the time. Two principles. One, would you commit right now to be parents who pray? Will you pray regularly? You know, moms and dads, grandparents out there, we never stop praying for our kids, do we? All the time. All the time. And moms and dads all over this congregation could tell you that this little one you're holding, you'll find a way to pray for them every day. Do that right now. Just make that commitment that you're going to go to the Lord every day by name for the future of their lives, for their spouses, for the families that they'll raise, for their devotion to the Lord. Pray for them. Lift their name up to Jesus every day by name. And do it together, moms and dads. Do it as a family. Do it together as you seek the Lord. And then secondly, be present. I know it's busy. I know it's hard. I know the nights right now are long. I know these little ones are doing great right now, but they're going to get up during the night. You know that, right? And they're going to be crying and they're going to have needs and it's going to be stressful. Can I just encourage you, moms and dads, go ahead and decide right now, before God's people and before the Lord, that you're going to be present with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And on days when it's long and it's hard and you feel weak and tired and run down, go to the Lord together and ask him to strengthen you for this beautiful assignment that he's given you to raise this precious little one to know and to follow Jesus. And here's what we know is true. When you'll commit your lives to those two things, God will honor it, he will bless it, and he will lead you, and he'll give you everything that you need so that you can be faithful to the assignment that he's given you. And church family, as these moms and dads do those things, as they pray and as they seek to be present in their home, to hold up high the name of Jesus and his word, church family, if you would be in agreement today that you're going to stand with these moms and dads and love them, pray for them, and you're going to serve these little ones, whether like Rhonda does in our preschool ministry, you just saw Rhonda Britton, or in our kids ministry, in our next gen ministry, student ministry, all the way through college and beyond. Church family, if you would dedicate yourselves today to love and to help disciple these little ones, to co-labor with these moms and dads, would you just say amen? So you've got a whole church now that's in your corner, and Pastor, why don't you come and pray for our families now?
Well, congratulations. Congratulations to each one of you. God bless you. And to all the parents and grandparents that are here today, what a special day this is. At Prestonwood, we believe that God creates life in the womb, the sanctity of life. We are pro-life. And when you see these beautiful little babies here today, it just reminds us how precious the gift of life truly is. This is why we have a pregnancy center, Prestonwood Pregnancy Center, saving babies every day and helping moms and dads celebrate life. And so with these today, we give thanks to God. And would you join me in prayer for each one of these? Lord, how we thank you for your love, the love that is greater than any love, that gives us a promise and a hope in you, that life is from you, that life is given to us because of what you have done. And so for these who have been born and those yet to be born, we give you thanks. And for these incredible parents, we pray for their strength. We pray that they would impart their own personal faith into the lives of their children, to raise these boys and girls to know and love you. And we pray that each one of these, as soon as they hear about you, know you, would trust you as Lord and Savior. We dedicate them, we dedicate these parents, and we dedicate ourselves that we would celebrate life and love in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Let's worship the Lord together. Let's stand, every one of us.
my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony. From dead to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'm justified by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Testimony this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You sing, who was there?
Who was there before there was creation? Who illuminates the stars and sun? Who has set eternity in motion? Oh, there's just one. Calm the storm with just a whisper. Who can make the darkest demons run? Who can break the curse of generations? Oh, there's just one.
Who is it?
The mighty Lion of Judah, the pure and spotless Lamb. Alpha and Omega, the good and great I am, the God that saves the nations, the one we bow before. Let every voice sing out, who is like the Lord? Who can care to stand upon his shoulders? Yeah.
glad you came to church today? Hey, before we do anything else, won't you find someone around you? Say hello to them really quickly, okay? Introduce yourself. You can go ahead and find your seat as we continue to worship together this morning through believers' baptism.
Good morning. We have 7 people that are going to be baptized this morning following Jesus Christ. Yeah, go ahead. In believers' baptism, there's a lot of people out there, isn't there, Blair? This is Blair Gibson.
And this is Anna Scott celebrating her 6th birthday today following Jesus in baptism.
Well, so Blair and Anna, based on your public profession of faith in obedience to Christ's command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Amy Obenhaus.
And this is Amy's daughter, Reagan Obenhaus.
So mother and daughter following Jesus Christ in baptism.
Amen.
Amy and Reagan, based on your public profession of faith and obedience to Christ's command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. All right, this is Daryl Kenny.
And this is Daryl's wife, Sherry Kenny. Husband and a wife.
There you go. Daryl and Sherry, based on your public profession of faith and obedience to Christ's command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Good job.
And finally, this is William Young. William is the son of Jeff and Heather Young. 17 years ago, I had the opportunity to officiate their wedding ceremony, which tells you 2 things. One, I'm getting old. And the second thing is you have parents that are faithful. They're faithful to raise their children up in the way that they should go. So, William, are you following Jesus Christ in baptism because you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior? Based on your public profession of faith in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are buried with Christ in baptism. You're raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen, amen. Let's give God praise for these. Are you glad to be here this morning? Amen. Well, welcome to Prestonwood. Are y'all glad to be in the house of the Lord? We want to welcome those that are worshiping here with us and those that are worshiping online. How blessed are we that God chose this day for us to be together. Amen. Are y'all glad that God gave you the breath of life today? Don't you know that Jesus is the giver of life? Amen. Well, we have a wonderful, wonderful time here, exciting time in the presence of the Lord here at Prestonwood. If you are a guest with us today, please do us a favor. Text the word CONNECT to 74788, the word CONNECT to 74788, so you can see what's going on in the life of Prestonwood and our ministry, but also that we'll know that you're here, how we can serve you, pray for you. So please do us a favor and text the word CONNECT to 74788. If you're a first-time guest here, our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, wants to give you a book that you can go pick up in the atrium, and it is called Powering Up, the Fulfillment of a Fruit of a God-Fueled Life. And this book is from our pastor, and he wants to give that to you. So please, if you're a first-time guest, go out to the atrium and pick up your copy of this book. How many know there's elections coming up? Very important elections, amen? Well, I stand before you, and if you say, what is this in his hand? This is my prop. Everybody, what does this say? Everybody say it together. Why do I have this? As a former elected official, I stand before you said I could not have taken office that God called me to without the vote of faithful people such as yourself. Evangelical Christians believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are under the sound of my voice and those that are watching online, please note, 30% of evangelical Christians do not vote. And I think that's being nice. It is our duty to vote. Blood was shed for all of us to vote. We need to vote our biblical, godly convictions. And so let me encourage you. It is an awesome privilege to go to the voter's box and cast our vote in the name of Jesus, to vote for men and women that share the same convictions that we do as believers. I'm one of them. Not only am I a voter, but I am a beneficiary of the vote of the people. So please, in our atrium, for the next few weeks, we have a table out in the atrium. If you have not registered to vote, please go out to the atrium. If you know others that have not registered to vote, you can register online, but right here in the church, we have an opportunity for you to vote. So please go vote. I'm gonna ask our men, our ushers, to come forward as we continue in worship. We worship God in song. We worship God in the hearing and the preaching of the word, and we worship God in our giving. Amen. So please continue to be faithful in your giving, to be a blessing to the ministry of Prestonwood, both here locally and abroad, and to continue the work that God has called us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, you are so faithful. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to be together as a body of believers. Father, thank you for blessing us, Father, with the resource and technology to bring everyone together, those that are watching from afar online, those that are here in your house. God, we worship you. Thank you, God, for our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham. We pray today that as he preaches your word to God, you would strengthen him, encourage him. Father God, give him the spirit of joy, which is his strength. Father, we thank you, Father God, for your man who brings forth the word of truth. Thank you, Lord, for every family that is here today. Lord God, I pray that you would move on our behalf in a powerful way. Lord God, we surrender our heart to you. We surrender this service to you. We surrender our lives to you. And Father God, we surrender this offering and these tithes to you, that Lord God, you may multiply it and use it to build your kingdom and be a blessing, Father, to your people as we build your word, Father God, in your kingdom in this generation and beyond. Lord, thank you that you love us so much. In Jesus' name, and everybody say it, amen.
Psalm 86, David writes this prayer down, and in verses 8, 9, and 10, he says, "There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." Would you sing this with me? One of my favorite songs.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout universe display, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul.
For this day, when Christ shall come,
when Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow. In humble adoration
Is
Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is our message series, Living Hope in a Hostile World. What a wonderful time we've had together. Thank you for that beautiful music, choir, and orchestra, and all of you, the congregation, as we worship the Lord. I want to encourage you to be a part of worship every week this fall, and it's a great time. Now, you know, college football is on, and I know many of you love that, as I do, but there's a significant day. It's called the Miracle on the Brazos. Does anybody know what that is? It happened 50 years ago, and our own Neil Jeffrey, who is celebrating 40 years here at Prestonwood this fall, much more about that later, led those Baylor Bears to a victory over, was it the University of Texas? Of course I know that. The University of Texas. And this is not burnt orange, by the way, though they've got a very good team. But Neil and the Bears won a big victory and still celebrating it even today. We love Neil and are grateful for his ministry and all those who serve the Lord here at Prestonwood. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, as always, will be our Prestonwood Espanol service, preached by Gilberto Cordera, and we're so grateful. This Wednesday night, I hope you'll be involved at our midweek, and we have so many opportunities for you to grow in your faith, to show your faith, and develop as a disciple of Christ, whether it is preparing in the orchestra. You know, the choir and orchestra show up every week to get ready for Sunday. And we appreciate that, don't we? And you can be a part of that as well, or serve in some other way on Wednesdays. Our Awana program, teaching boys and girls God's Word, is fantastic. So we're really focusing this fall on Awana. And that is a workman that needs not to be ashamed, teaching our children to know and love Jesus and His Word. Title of this message is Loving the Unseen Lord. Peter begins his letter with a doxology of praise, an exaltation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and a celebration of our amazing salvation in Christ, that we have been born again unto a living hope, that we are kept by the power of God, sure and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but we are people of the resurrection, and therefore we are people of hope. Peter is the apostle of hope, and he writes to Christians who are facing fire. They are living in a hate-filled, hostile world. Scattered like seeds, Peter said, around the world, these early believers were preparing for persecution, increasing persecution, and all of them, as we should today, we're counting the cost of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. How are we to live in a world that is so hostile and so often towards the things of God, anti-God and anti-Christ? How are we to face fires of opposition and even persecution in these days? Well, we're told that we're to face these fires and pressures with joyous faith and sure hope. We never, ever lose hope. Why? Because Jesus lives. Amen. Jesus lives, and He's coming again. Peter knew what it was like to nearly lose his faith when at the cross he denied the Lord three times, and Christ was buried in a borrowed tomb. He almost lost it all, and yet his life was saved and his life was restored when he met the risen Lord. And Peter never got over his experience of meeting Jesus for the first time and then for the last time when Christ ascended into heaven and he saw him go, and with a promise he said, I'm coming again. So Peter is sure, and he is challenging us to be sure as well. One of the interesting facts about the book of 1 Peter, the letter of 1 Peter, is there are 30 imperative verbs in 1 Peter, which means Peter is preaching hard. You wonder sometimes why preachers raise their voices. Well, it's an exclamation point. It's an imperative. And Peter is challenging us all in this letter to obedient faith and holy living. He knew full well that we need to brace ourselves in a demonized world in which we should be fearless in the face of every attack of Satan. That we are to be bold and brave as believers, courageous Christians. Here's what we know. We know that we are pilgrims on a journey. And there is joy in this journey because we know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. So from time to time, we need to check our passport and remember where home is and make sure you've got a passport as a citizen of heaven. So yet on our journey home, we're not on home turf. Heaven's our home. This isn't our home. We're in this turf that is ruled by Satan himself, and we can expect to fight battles. And it's not always a fair fight, is it? It isn't. But we live on the promise of a heavenly hope. And we live on the promise of seeing a Savior that we trust with our very lives. And so verses 8 and 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, he's talking to you. You believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the goal, the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And the salvation of your souls here is future tense, when you see Jesus and you are made perfect in him. Well, this text is such a sublime scripture because it gives to us really the very essence of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that we would know and love the unseen Christ. Have you ever wondered what Jesus looks like? I mean, if we could go back in time and see his face, and so many times we wish we could have been there when he walked on the water or when he healed the multitudes, fed the 5,000, even to stand at the foot of the cross when he gave his life, knowing the outcome of the cross was the resurrection, to have been there, to embolden our faith. There are many things I would like to have seen when Jesus walked on the earth, to have seen his face then. So through the years, people have imagined, and through art and sculpture have created faces, images of Jesus. Now, let me remind you, images should never be worshiped or idolized. But to imagine the face of Jesus and to consider what he might have looked like has been the prospect of Christians through the generations. It goes all the way back to the early days of the Christian faith, including the catacombs. So I brought you a few images as to what Christ might have looked like according to the ancients. That's late 4th century catacomb in Rome. And Dr. Jeremiah Johnston tells me it is that image that is seen and viewed in the Shroud of Turin. More about that a little later. And it appears that those in the early part of the Christian faith may have used the Shroud of Turin as a model. We don't know. But there's late 4th century Jesus. Then the next one, you move on to the medieval period, St. Catherine's Monastery and Christ Almighty, 6th century. And that's an interesting view of Jesus. And then let's fast forward to the 1940s and the 1950s. I call this one Sunday School Jesus. Church Jesus, because how many times did we grow up in church seeing that image of Christ, and maybe you even had it in your Bibles, and I often, as a little boy, looked at that image of Christ and imagined him. But then let's go fast forward a little more. This is from the Passion of the Christ. And there you see this image of Jesus, portrayal of Christ in the movie, The Passion of the Christ. And then, how many of you watched The Chosen? This is happy Jesus. This is Jesus of The Chosen. And I do appreciate the portrayal of our Lord in The Chosen. I hope you're watching it and watching it with your family. It's really, really good. And then there's this image. I take you back to the face of Jesus in the shroud of Turin. And those images, the one on the left actually shows us bloodstains. The red marks, obviously, are the bloodstains on this amazing piece of linen cloth that was discovered. And if you'll fast forward it just a little more, artificial, and you see the image there on the right of the Shroud of Turin, artificial intelligence took the Shroud of Turin and the image and conceived of what Jesus might have looked like in artificial intelligence. And so there is that. I don't know. If you want to know more about the Shroud of Turin, I would encourage you to go to this website, Dr. Johnston's Analysis of the Shroud. There's breaking news on the Shroud, ChristianThinkers.com. So I don't have time in this message to do what Dr. Jeremiah can do to help you with this and maybe answer some of your questions that you have about the Shroud of Turin. So all those images of Christ, including this last one, it truly is stunning. But of course, we don't see Jesus today through eyes of flesh, but through eyes of faith. We don't know exactly what he looked like, but we know him and we love him. And that's the point that Peter is making. You have not seen him. You have not yet seen him. You will, if you are a follower of Christ. But you love him because you have believed in him and because you're looking to him in faith. So what does it mean to love the unseen Lord? That's the title of this message. It means that we know Jesus personally. To love the unseen Lord means that we know him. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the day that is yet to come. We know Jesus, not because of a photograph, not because of a painting, but we know him because he has made himself known to us. Amen. He has shown himself in creation. God is manifest in creation. But specifically and personally, he has made us known, himself known to us in his word. This book is the Jesus book. It is God's love story to each one of us. It is the story of Jesus and his salvation for all who trust in him. Yes, he has revealed himself. And the scripture says in 1 John 4:19 that we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And in his love, he came to us and died and rose again. And we have been transformed by the living presence of God in us. The Spirit of Christ who is within us, he is real. Jesus is real to me. He's not someone I just talk about. He's someone I know. I know him. Jesus said in John 16, verse 7, in the upper room, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus went away, and we would not see his face until he comes again. And yet, we know him because his spirit, the living spirit of Jesus, lives in us. Yes, we love the unseen Christ because we know him. And we want to know him more and more. That was the ambition, the holy ambition of the Apostle Paul, who said that I might know him more and more and the power of his resurrection. The greatest apologetic for the Christian faith is the power of Christ transforming lives through the century. And Jesus has changed our lives. We have not seen him, but we know his presence. We do. This is why we say to live is Christ. We're the Apostle Paul. For to me to live is Christ. To love Christ is to live in Christ. We walk with him. We talk with him. We experience his love. Thomas, one of the disciples, wanted to put his hands in the nail prints of Jesus' feet and hands before he would believe. And Jesus, in his resurrection appearances, appeared to Thomas. He showed him his hand, showed him his feet. Thomas bowed down and worshiped Jesus because at that moment he knew the miracle had taken place, the resurrection, and he believed. He worshiped in total faith. And then Jesus said something to him that he says to you. Have you believed because you have seen me? That's to Thomas. Blessed are those, this is the beautiful beatitude to every Christian. Blessed are those who have not seen him and yet have believed. That's you and that's me. Secondly, to love the unseen Lord means loving Jesus passionately. He says, you have not seen, but you love him. I don't mind telling you, I love Jesus. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who names his name should say, I love Jesus. This is the essential. This is the essence of what it means to be a Christian. It means to love Jesus. What did Jesus say about the first commandment? Wrapping up all the commandments, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. With everything you have. Christianity is a person. It is loving him. It is loving and honoring and serving and worshiping Jesus. Christianity is all about this, not regimens, not rules, not religion, not a code, not a creed, not conduct, not a church, but Christ and Christ alone. There is no Christianity without Christ. We love Jesus. This is why we keep preaching Jesus. This is why we keep talking about Jesus. We can't help but tell the story of Jesus. Why? Because we love Jesus. We talk about the things we love. So to be a Christian is to love the Lord. And if you don't love the Lord, you're not a Christian. If you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know Jesus. Because to know him is to love him. And we spend our lives till he comes for us getting to know him better and better that we might love him more and more. Now, it is possible, according to Jesus himself, is speaking to the church in the book of Revelation, to leave or abandon your first love. And this love, this passionate, emotional, devotional love that we have for Christ, that is the first love, a fervent, devotional, emotional love for Jesus. What is that love? It is a love that overflows with gratitude and praise. Sometimes it is a love that is expressed in tears when we are overcome with emotion, when we remember and realize his love for us, what Jesus has done for us. It moves us to commitment and service to Christ. What does it mean to truly love Jesus passionately and primarily in our lives? Let me mention about four ways. You may want to write these down. Number one, when I love Jesus, I will spend time with him. That's a simple thing, but it's true. We want to spend time with the people that we love. I love spending time with Deb, the love of my life. These are great years for us, spending time together. And also our family, because we love our family. And then there's those grandchildren. So you spend time with people that you love. And because we love Jesus, we want to make time and spend time and give time in personal communion with Christ. This means prayer. This means worship. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist put it this way. Oh God, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. What was the psalmist saying? In worship, I looked to God, and I didn't see his face, but I saw his glory. And I worshiped him because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. And when you are overcome with the presence and the glory of God, you worship him, you experience him. There is a longing in your heart for Jesus. The first minister of music worship pastor of Prestonwood Church was a man by the name of Richard Baker, Dr. Richard Baker. Many of us remember him, a great man. And one thing you may not know about the early years of Prestonwood, we, of course, sing all these new songs today along with great hymns, just like we sang this morning. We blend it all together. It's beautiful. But Prestonwood has always sung choruses and spiritual songs of faith. And early on, they were written by Dick Baker. He wrote some beautiful and wonderful songs. He was a revivalist. Who traveled the country before becoming our worship pastor here at Prestonwood. But I love to hear Dick Baker sing, I have a longing in my heart for Jesus. Just to be near him. Just to be like him. I have a longing in my heart for him. So when you love Jesus, the love produces a longing for him. Secondly, when you love Jesus, you will love what Jesus loves. You will love what Jesus loves. And that includes his word. To love his word, we want to listen to people that we love and hear from them. So we want to listen to him, our Lord, as he speaks to us in his word. It would also include his church. That we love what Jesus loves. Well, does Jesus love his church? Sure he does. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. And that husbands, we are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. So Jesus loves his bride, his body, the church. Now, there's some people, I've heard Christians, some Christians or professing Christians say, well, I love Jesus, it's just Christians I can't stand. And truly, there's some unusual people in the church. Every family's got that weird uncle. And if you're wondering who that is, maybe you need to look in the mirror. It could be you if you don't know. But no, it's a fact. Churches are flawed. But don't say, I love Jesus, but I just don't like Christians. I don't love Christians. I don't love the church. Listen to what John says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. So we love what Jesus loves. We love one another and we care about his church. Why? Because we love the one who birthed us into the family of God. Love the family. Thirdly, if you love Jesus, you will not only love what he loves and spend time with him, but you will hate what he hates. You say, oh, well, you're not supposed to hate. Well, Jesus hated some things. He hated sin. He overturned tables in the temple when he saw the hypocrisy and the unbelief there. Yes, the psalmist said in 97 verse 10 of the Psalms, you that love the Lord should hate evil. God hates sin. Sin put Jesus on the cross. It was sin that crucified our Lord. And if you love sin or you love this sinful world, then you don't love Jesus. Someone said, before you became a Christian, you used to love sin and leap into it. But once you became a Christian, then you may sin, but you lapse into sin and you loathe it. If you're an unbeliever, you leap into sin and love it. But as a believer, if you sin, you repent of your sin and you turn away from it. And so we hate what he hates. We despise the things that are destroying people's lives. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you?" God hates sin, and so should you if you love Jesus. You know, there are people who say things like, "Well, I love Jesus, but I really like sleeping with my girlfriend." No. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." "Well, I love Jesus, but man, I really like to party on the weekends." No. If you love Jesus, you love what he loves and you hate what he hates. You want to know what Jesus hates? You want to know what God hates? There's a scripture I want to show you. You'll need to turn to it. I'm not sure we have it yet on the screens, but turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs, the 6th chapter. And we're told what the Lord hates. Oh, there it is. "These 6 things the Lord hates, yea, 7, are an abomination to him. A proud look," because pride, the perpendicular pronoun of I, is at the top of the list. "A lying tongue." Watch this. "Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brothers." Yes, God hates sin. He mentions these, including hands that shed innocent blood. Hands and feet that are swift to do evil. God hates abortion. Amen. Because it not only takes the life of a child, but it in fact can destroy the life of the mother. This week in the debate, Kamala Harris said this. We got a picture of Kamala. There she is. "You don't have to abandon your faith or deeply held religious beliefs to be pro-choice." That is a lie. God is pro-choice. Life is conceived in the womb. And if you are pro-God and pro-Christ, you won't be pro-choice. You know what that is? That's the religion of Jezebel, who had the prophet of Baal sacrifice children. And in this country, if we keep sacrificing our children, it won't be long until our country is no more. And so don't tell me that you can vote for someone who says that choice to murder a baby is an option for a Christian who loves Jesus. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. You hate what Jesus hates. Hands that shed innocent blood, whose feet are swift to run to evil. And that evil can be of any kind. And then, if you love Jesus, that means that you love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. Tells us that Christ is coming again, and Paul is looking forward to it. He's leaning into it. He's about to go into the presence of the Lord. And he said the Lord will appear with a crown of righteousness, and not only for me, but all who love his appearing. What does a Jesus-loving Christian do? Look up. Because Christ is coming again for you. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again for you to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And whether you're going by land or by air, either through death or rapture, one day and one day soon, you're going to see his face. Amen. face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when in rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. The greatest day of your life is coming. And that's the day you see Jesus. It'll be the best day of your life because it's only the beginning of your life with him forever and ever. And we will know him. We'll recognize us and he will receive us into his presence. It will be clear who Jesus is, that he is the one who is worthy of all of our worship. No wonder Peter concluded this sentence about the unseen Lord with these words, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy without the ability to even say it. Just imagine that. There's a song that talks about that. I can only imagine what that's going to be like. What will I do? Well, I predict that your face is going to beam with the glow of the glory of God, that your countenance and your very life will be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. This is the hope and the promise of heaven. We will be with Christ. And what makes heaven, heaven? Lee Strobel is going to be preaching next Sunday, and he's going to be talking about the hope of heaven. And, of course, that's what we've been talking about here with the hope of Christ, living hope in a hostile world. But when we see Jesus, of all the things that we can hear and know about heaven, what makes heaven, heaven, is the beauty and the glory and the presence of Jesus. You will see him if you know him and trust him. That's why we sing, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior and Lord, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, it is now." Do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, you will trust him. You will know him more and more by spending time with him, by loving what Jesus loves, hating what Jesus hates, and looking forward to seeing him face to face, loving the unseen Lord. Would you stand with me, please, everyone standing together? I want to ask, please, in reverence and respect for this time of the service, that no one be leaving the building, that no one be stirring around, but that you stay with us and pray with us. In fact, I want you to make this a time of prayer for people who need to know Jesus. All around you are people who need the love of Christ. Can I tell you that Jesus loves you so much that he gave his life for you, so much that he rose again from the dead, so much that he's coming for you if you put your faith and trust in him. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." And so the way to God, the only way to the Father, is not all these religious paths, but it is through a relationship with Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. Do you know him? Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? How many of you would say today, I know and love Jesus? I do. There's been a time in my life when I personally received him, responded to the message of the gospel, his death, his burial, and resurrection, and I know in my heart, God knows, that I love Jesus, and I want the whole world to know that I am his and he is mine. Would you just hold up your hand right now as a testimony? I know Jesus. I love Jesus. Amen. Put your hands down. Some of you didn't lift your hands. Thank you for being honest and not just going along with the crowd. If you're not certain that you have a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to settle that today. We're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray a prayer that will help you invite Christ into your life sincerely and personally. that you would know him, not just about him, but that you would truly know him and then love him. Remember what a Christian is? A Christian is someone who loves Jesus. So because you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus and love him, if that's you, you say, Jack, pray for me. I'm not sure, I don't know, but I want to know. If you want me to pray for you that you would invite Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and your Savior, would you just hold up your hand right now from the balcony all across the lower floor? Just lift your hand right now wherever you are. God bless you. And up in the balcony, God bless you. Just hold up your hand. Say, I want to be included in this prayer. Yes, thank God for you. A little child there and an adult over here. Don't be ashamed. If you love Jesus, you won't be ashamed of Jesus. So you say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to know and love Jesus right now. Would you just hold up your hand? We're going to wait just a moment, and then we're going to pray. All right, for those who know Jesus, but you would have to say, you know, I've kind of abandoned my first love. Not kind of, I have. I'm not loving Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus more than you used to love Jesus, then it's most likely that you love him a whole lot less than you used to love him. But you would say, you know, I want to raise my hand to say I need prayer. I want to love Jesus more and more. I want him to be real in my life. I want to give up the folly and the foolishness of sin because I love Jesus. And I want to repent of my sin and renew my love and my faith in Jesus today. I want to be in the prayer. Would you hold up your hand right now? Just hold up your hand. God bless you. And you, and you, and you. Many hands all across the room, in the balcony, all across the mezzanine level. Just hold up your hand. I want to renew my love and restore, be restored. Like Peter was restored when he denied the Lord and failed so terribly. Jesus restored him, and he will restore you if you will express your love to him. Now, Lord, we know that you have seen not only hands that I have seen, but you have looked into hearts, and you see the desires of these who want to know you and love you and follow you, to believe in you. Though they have not seen you yet, Lord, they will today believe in you because you're speaking to their hearts. They love you deep within. And so, for those who will trust you, give them the boldness and the courage and the faith to come forward today and make that public. And then others who want to renew their faith, let this be a time of renewed devotion and emotion to follow Christ, that we would truly be first love Christians. Lord, add to your church for those who want to be a part of this church fellowship, and bring to yourself all those who will seek you. For we pray in your name. The name of Jesus, amen. Now look right this way.